Kingdom greetings. It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good, I tell you, it's a good time to know the Lord, to know that we belong to the Lord. It's also good to see Den and Waxy sitting here. You know, it's good. You know, even as a minister, this being my call and my job, my responsibility, it's not good for me to do it all the time. I gotta have breaks, or I'm gonna break. Okay? So, I thank God for the workers. I've been praying all week. I said, Lord, thank you for the workers. Thank you. So, if you see something you can do, listen, none of you here is too old. Okay? None of you is too old. God started with Abraham when he was 80, at least. Okay? Abraham had his first son at 100. So don't let the enemy lie to you, make you think, well, you retired. There's no retirement in the Lord. All right. So until God bring more workers to his work, we'll use all of you, because that's what it's about. It's not about a man. It's about seeing the work in everybody. As a matter of fact, every believer is a participant. Every believer, you know, you become a Christian, born again. Then you become a disciple. A disciple grow to the level of being a worker, a laborer in the kingdom. And then by remaining faithful, you become a leader. A leader is someone who influences. So, I tell you, this is a time for the gospel. This morning I read something one of my friends, he posted on Facebook. I think I shared it. He says there's a constant war. How did it go? Can't remember. I think I shared it. Let me pull it up. I wanted to read it to you. But it says everything is in the world wars against intimacy with Jesus. Everything in the world wars against intimacy with Jesus and one another. So the enemy is always after our relationship. It's almost what, a month and a half since I'm talking about this stuff? And I think you got it now. The enemy is always after your friendship. The enemy is always after your relationship with God. I said it all the time, I fight for relationship. But there are some people, it doesn't matter how much you fight for relationship with them, you just can't have relationship with them. There are certain people, it doesn't matter how much you will fight to have peace with them. You just can't, because they're not at peace in themselves. So don't beat yourself up if you have to say goodbye to somebody who has taken advantage of you. Somebody who's just, the friendship is all about what they can get out of it. Now, make sure you forgive them. Make sure you keep an open heart in case they get to their senses and repented. When they come back, then you can receive them and have a relationship. Now, what I'm telling you is from experience, because I'm experiencing the same thing. I mean, I've got people that we help for 12 years. I have people that I invest. I mean, there was a time in my life I talked to my personal finance guy. He's like, well, what are you saving? Well, I said, we said, we're not saving anything. It's like, that's stupid. I said, well, because everything we have, we just give. That is stupid. But you know what? I'm never in need of anything. God gave us all we need for the season. So then, yeah, we did change our strategies, but we saw, I see the Lord at work. But there are certain people in your life, the only reason they are in your life, it's because they're... May the Lord open your eyes so you can identify those people, so you can cut the tie. Not unfriend them, but just become wise. Because the moment you stop, or the moment they, you know, yeah, the moment you stop giving them, those people will be your worst enemies. And it's sad. It is very sad. So today I tend to finish with, to take a pause on my discipleship teaching. And I'm going to finish. Last week I started talking to you about character in a disciple. And I thought about, I recommend a book, Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe is a guy that I met after he died. I didn't meet him. I knew of him. But Miles Monroe is actually one of my mentors. He's one of my mentors that I've never met. I should say it like that. Well, one day in 2016, right? I think on the internet, and I saw a big headline. About some guy had died in a crash, an airplane crash. I thought actually he was big in the States, but he was actually from the Bahamas. So I went and did some research about him. From that day, since then, I listened to him. I discovered, even the whole kingdom-minded thing, I got it from him. It's a revelation I got from him, from listening to him. So Miles Monroe is one of the mentors I have that I've never met. And I said, well, I got to know him after he was dead. But you know what? He marked his generation. And I've got a couple of his books, and one of the book I really love is, the title is Character. So a lot of the things that I'm teaching you, I got from his book, all right? So all the credit to the Holy Spirit and Miles Monroe. Open your Bibles in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3, verse 3 and 11. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by becoming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enabled you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for one another. It says the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into eternal life, into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, now maybe some days, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take whatever I prepared, all that I prepared and teach whatever you want us to hear. I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that even in the next couple of minutes that you allow us to focus and allow us to hear and understand what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, you said, amen. So character in the disciples. Maybe someday, just like we've done a study on James, I might want to do a study on 1st and 2nd Peter, because that's a book that's like, wow. You see, in 2nd Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 11, there's so much you can learn. But I'll come back to those verses in detail some other times. I want some feedback. Let's talk about some of the characteristic of Jesus Christ. And I want you guys to throw at me some characteristic of Jesus. Don't take that off the screen yet. All right, leave it at the first slide. Go back. Oh man. I forgot to communicate with my guys there. All right. Stay, don't go ahead of me, but you know, you guys already, it's okay. That's how God works. God never gives us an exam where he doesn't tell you the answer, all right? Okay? That's how I love Jesus. God is not in the business of trying to make it hard for you. You know, it's like, hey, choose life. You do this, you live. You do that, you die. All right? But this is how you do it. He shows you. All right, so there you go. Throw at me some of the characteristic of Jesus, and you should have no problem doing that. Come on now. Peace-loving. Huh? Merciful. Kind. Teacher. Heidi. Teacher. Okay. Aaron. Generous. Connor. Faithful. Michaela. Okay. Jenna. Loving. My brother. Compassionate. Gary. Genuine. Ryan. Compassionate, they give me that already. Nancy. Just. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Walt. Peaceful. Priscilla. Gentle. Linda. Donna. That's a lot. You see now, remember, this list is not a daunting list. It's not a list for us to be so afraid to be like, man, there's a song. I know a song in Creole where it says, I want to be like Jesus. Oh, yeah, we do sing a song like that. I want to be like Jesus and walk like him. I want to be. Is that how? Oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. Okay, all right. I was close. But you know what? We change it. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. Walk. The world wants me to be like the world, but my desire, my purpose is to be like Christ. How do we act like someone if we don't know who they are? It's impossible. That's why I think today it's really to our benefit to know some of the characteristics. You know, what is a characteristic? You know, a characteristic is typical, is what they call, it's an adjective, typical or quality of a person. Quality of a person. That's a characteristic, you know. So therefore, Jesus was merciful, right? He was obedient, compassionate, self-denying, truthful, prayerful, patient. You can put that on the screen now. You know, joyful, right? Jesus was joyful. You know, the consistent characteristic of God, the Father, he's just in punishing sin. God is not partial. There is no gift you can give God. There's not enough money you can give God so he can approve of your way, your own way. You know, there are people that think if they go on a mission trip, God is pleased. Just like back in the days, it used to be people think, well, if they come to church and they do like a mass, what they call a mass, come here, let the priest or let the preacher do their thing, and then they go home. On the way home, they're cursing and killing and do everything else. They're fine. Just like certain religion thinks, you know, if you do this, you do that. If you take one day and you set that day apart for the Lord, you can live the rest of the week for yourself. It doesn't work. You know, God is peace-loving. God loves peace. Merciful, forgiving, loving, kind, gentle, just, eternal, and unchangeable. I like that. See, we have eternal life, but this body is not eternal. That's why we were born babies, toddlers, teenagers, adult, young adult, adult, and older adult, and then older. And then we're dead. It's okay. That's the process. It's okay. But my spirit man, the moment you give your life to the Lord, your spirit man, as long as you're feeding yourself in the presence of the Lord and in the word of God, in communion and fellowship, intimacy with one another, your spirit man gets stronger and stronger. Your spirit man, my spirit, I have eternal life. My body will die. So that's why my focus is not the body. I have a debt. Therefore, I don't owe the body. I don't live by the body. I don't do what the body wants. I put my body under the authority of the Spirit. Then I live. I have life. How do you say that? Zealous. Well, yeah. You know what? Devoted. Merciful, obedient, compassionate, self-denying, truthful, prayerful, patient, joyful, direct. See, Jesus was not a hypocrite. We're reading a book, and one of the statistics in the book says there is about 75% of people outside the church says they would never go to church because of hypocrisy. And like, well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, make sure you're not a hypocrite. If someone hurts you, if someone do something to you you don't like, go to that person with love. Oh, you could be mad, or maybe give a couple of days, but with love, go to that person. Say, you know what? I'm mad. This is what you did. And talk about it. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring restoration and restitution in the friendship. There's no divorce in the Lord. You cannot divorce your family. I know this is not a popular saying. You know, there's no divorce. God hates divorce. Divorce is the worst thing that can happen to somebody. They said, as a matter of fact, it's a lot easier if your mate is dead and you buried them than divorce. See, Jesus was direct, so we need to be strategic. Jesus, he was an equipper. He was a releaser as well. Oh, Jesus, he knows how to get angry, but he did not sin. Don't let anybody make you think, well, if you're angry, you're going to hell. No, no, no. The problem is if you have an anger problem, then that's sin. But if there's what you call a holy anger. You know, you don't kill people, you don't hate people. Jesus was angry at the Pharisees because he saw that their hearts were evil. He saw their motives. He's like, man, how come you tell people? It's just like preachers. How come they tell people to do things they're not doing? That's why people out there, they get mad at the preachers. Your life should reflect what you preach. Debriefer. Jesus liked to talk about some of the sermon he talks about, and he brings the disciples together in a home group, and he talks about it. Ask question. What did you guys hear? Friendly. Jesus was a friendly person. I don't know. I wanna be like Jesus, please. Something like that. Character in a disciple. What are some of the characteristics of Jesus? And all of us here can bear witness. Can we all bear witness that this is how Jesus is? Now, don't let this list make you discouraged.
To be like, oh man, I can never be like that.
When I look at this list, guys, when I look at this list, I'm excited. I know I can't do it not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I can't do it by myself. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. Huh? Jesus was a wise man. I tell you, the best way to gain wisdom is talk to your elders. For me, that's the way it works. All of us will always have somebody who is older than us. All of us will always have somebody who has been there before us. Some people, they want to figure it out. You know, I want to figure it out. Hey, it's okay to ask for instruction. It is okay. It is. There's a lesson I'm going to do with my cell leaders, and they're going to do it with your cell, with you in cell. I tell you, it'll blow your mind. Because in our human, I mean, some of us, we're very prideful. Some of you, it's always easy to help people. It's not easy for you to receive help. That's another sign of pride, being prideful. It's always easy for you to give. But when somebody gives you, I tell you a story. Being a missionary, we had a lot of people coming from the States to help our community build. I mean, we've done crazy things. There's one guy from Georgia. He would go down with thousands of dollars with nurse and doctors for 1 week. We would hire 15 people. I mean, we would see at least 300 people per day for 6 days. From sun up till sundown. They came and gave. But me, in my mindset, I told my people, I said, you see these guys? They would be like maybe 15 of them. At least 10 of them sometimes. I said, you see these guys? They come and give. They left their job. They paid their own tickets. They do fundraising. But guess what? We're not going to let them go without blessing them. We're going to give them something back. What can we do? I said, all throughout the week, you guys bring food, mango, pineapple, the best mango in the world, best pineapple in the world, best banana in the world and stuff. Good stuff. And then I told them, I said, I don't know. I don't care what you have. This week, I want, before they go, I want us to take an offering and I want us to give them enough money so they can feed themselves at the airport. All right. And I told them why. I said, the Bible says there's more blessing to give than to receive. So they are being blessed. So we're not going to allow them to steal all that blessing this week. We're going to take some. You remember that, Kendra? So most of them, my key guys, they, we're going to do it. So Sunday morning, usually their last day after service, we take them to the airport. We took an offering. That first day we collected $70 American. And that was like, at that time it was just like 2,000 Haitian. $70 American. And we brought the team up. We usually pray for them on Sunday morning and we thank them. And we asked them, you know, what they did, what they learned. We did a debrief that day. And then right before we pray for them, and I told them, I said, guys, we want to thank you, but we want to bless you. And here's $70 for you to feed yourself at the airport from us. For coming and serve the community the way you did. You know what they did? It was crazy. They said, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I understood where they were coming from, but they didn't understand where we were coming from. Because in their mindset, we are so poor and they came to give. So in their mindset, oh, no, 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 oh, no, 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 we're not going to take from these poor people. Right away, I had a subject lesson. I said, you see, this is it. In your mind, if you keep doing this to us, you're keeping us poor. But the way for me to break that, of course, God is the owner of everything. He owns everything. So he gives you and he puts you in our way to come and bless us. So therefore, I'm not going to be dumb. When you give me, not only I'm going to find somebody else to bless with what you give me, but I'm going to do whatever I can to bless you back. So your position, you need to repent from that position. Because that position is a prideful position. Oh, they're too poor. No. It was beautiful. Because both parties understood where it's a stronghold. And I'll challenge you today. Receive from people. Receive from people. When somebody invites you to their home, you go. You invite somebody. When somebody gives you $2, $5, you receive it. Don't be like, oh, poor people. When somebody bless you with something, you make sure you bless them back or you bless somebody else with that. And that's how God, he bless what we've done. But it was amazing. Every time a team would come, every chance we get, oh, we would bless them. Sometimes we wouldn't have U.S. dollars. It would be in goods. We told them, divide it. Maybe take it as a souvenir. Next time they come, they can use it in Haiti. See, Jesus, he was wise. And if we want to be like him, we got to be wise. Stretching. Jesus, he was stretched. He renounced. Willingly renounced the person he was to came on earth, took our place. Who would want to do that? Not me. I don't know about you, but I'm straightforward. There's no way I'm going to do that for any of you. I love you guys. He did it for you and I. He showed us. He was stretched. Jesus was a believer. He believed, long-suffering, committed. Jesus was, he committed to the Father. He committed to his disciples. Prophetic. You know, we prayed that this morning. This is the day of Elijah. The dry bones, may they become alive again. Courageous. Jesus was courageous. Jesus was not afraid. He was present. He was not an absentee friend. He was a visionary. He was also a listener. Authoritative. Question asker. He was a teacher. Empowering. He was also a deliverer. We sing it. You are my strength. You are my deliverer. Networking. Man, Jesus, he knows how to work that. Best way to tell you, I've gone through Bible school. I've done some studies. But the best way to know how to pastor is to read the gospel. Jesus was the greatest shepherd. Sometimes we get so distracted with all these studies, with all these masters, and it's all good. They hang on the wall. But I tell you, if you're not spending time in prayer and in the word and learn how to be with, like Jesus, there's no success. And this is not just for leaders. It's for any Christians who wants to live a life of discipline, a life of character. Provider. Jesus provide. Well, Jesus was also dependent. Hard worker, faithful, holy, and pure motives. You know, priority of character. Last week I talked to you about two guys. Can you remind me those two guys? Samson and Joseph. You see, Samson has strength of the body, which was very impressive. I think I put a picture up there. But Joseph did not have strength, but he had character. Joseph had strength of character. Samson was an impressed man. I mean, a man who impressed other men with his strength. I find one picture where, you know, I don't know what Samson looks like, but, you know, there are pictures out there that shows you Samson killing a lion with his... Can you imagine, guys? There's a movie, Samson, out there, right? I mean, can you imagine? So I figured I'd choose a simple guy, you know. That's strength. Can you imagine? This is Samson. Samson has strength of the body, very impressive body. But yet, Samson lacked character. Joseph, on the other hand, did not have character. I mean, did not have physical strength in comparison to Samson. But Joseph had strength in character. I would rather be weak physically, but be strong in character. And my next slide showing that very good. A person in character is small on the outward, but on the inside, he's strong. Where's my next slide? See, character is the commitment to a set of values without compromise. This is character. Why character is important in a disciple's life? Why of your life to you? First of all, character is the skeleton of your life. We all have bones. You don't see our bones. Skeleton don't walk around, right? During Halloween, they tell you they do, but they don't. You know, also character establishes and strengthens your inner life. I know people that have aborted their life because of they don't have character. Character is the person you are behind closed doors. I would rather not be famous and be a person of character. Because your abilities will take you to places only your character will keep you. Your abilities. Oh, I've got abilities. My abilities have opened doors for me. Abilities, yeah. Your talents, you know, things you can offer the world. I mean, you know those guys. We're not going to mention any names. Guys that are on the news, guys that are on TV, I mean, they're big shots. Before you know it, there's a big scandal. What happened? The problem is simple. It's a lack of character. When you are a person of character, character will always protect your reputation. And it's unfortunate that people, they pay more attention to other things than their character. You see, as a follower of Christ, it is important to take care of your character. Because when you are a person of character, you have nothing to hide. You are the same person behind doors. I am the same person with my wife, with my children. I am the same person when they're not around. I am the same person in my car. I am the same person when I'm traveling by myself. I am the same person when I'm in my office. I am the same person at 1 o'clock. I am the same person at 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. I am the same person everywhere. That's character. It's because a person of character look like this. Number 3, character matters because it enables you to effectively fulfill your purpose and potential. I know people that have, like I said, aborted their life because they don't have character. Let's say God called you, and I said it publicly, privately. Lord, I would rather die before certain things happen to me. You know, many times people pray, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'll never fall into adultery. It takes more than that. It's a choice. It is a choice. In the name of Jesus, I'll never cheat. No, certain prayers, stop it. That's a dumb prayer. Because the things Jesus already give you authority over, you don't need to be like in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I won't run a red light. It's a choice. It is a choice not to run a red light. There's no prayer that's going to stop you running a red light. See, this last donut, in the name of Jesus, I won't eat you. In the name of Jesus, in the next 2 months, I'm going to eat salad. Just a weird example. Don't pray like that. It won't take you anywhere. That's why God created us in His image with a willpower. You see, sometimes people wish that God would be a dictator. Don't do this. And God would be like, no, don't. God would just take your will and get you to do things. The Lord is not like that. He's a gentleman. He gives you free will. That's why He's not killing people who renounce Him. There's going to come a day, if they don't repent, they will face judgment. But right now, God gives everybody free will. You don't want Him? Well, sure, live your life. We'll see what happened at the end. Am I making sense? Character in a disciple. Number four, it protects your leadership or your vision. For example, Samson. Samson, he lived a short life. Samson, according to some studies, he died before his time. God established him to help the Israelite as a judge. But because he lacked character, what happened? He didn't survive. So I'm going to challenge you for the rest of your life on this earth. Continue to take care of your character. Also, character matters because it's preventing you from canceling your vision and your leadership temporarily, and enabling you to leave a legacy for your own generation. Of course, now I missed the G. And future generation. So the more your secret life become public, the more you have become closer to character. So don't be afraid to make people known who you really are. Because some people, they're afraid people would know them. Some people are like, why are you so honest? I'm like, well, is there any other way? Because I don't want to be in the darkness. So if I'm your friend, this is who I am. Take me or leave me. Jesus was direct. So I tell you things direct. One thing that really could make me mad is when people that I think knows me and they assume that if I have something to tell them, I wouldn't. If I have something to tell Dave, I'm not going to talk to Roxy. I'm going to talk to Dave. So therefore, if I go to Roxy, Roxy should have the character to tell me, why are you telling me that? Are you with me? Why are you telling me about Dave? Because I might not have enough character to go talk to Dave. So therefore, the moment she asks me that question, that's going to challenge my motives. Because I might not have the courage to go to Dave. But then if she's got enough character to challenge me or challenge the motive why I'm talking to her, that might help me either to go to Dave or her take me to Dave. Am I making sense? The enemy is always after your relationship with God and with one another. That's why I tell you, If the church would love one another, if we would love one another like we're talking right now, everybody will want to be part of this. Because people are looking for love. People are looking for acceptance. See, acceptance is not tolerance. But I accept where you're at and I accept what the Lord is doing in your life. So, the most powerful covenant in a disciple of Christ is, I tell you again, character. I make a commitment today to be a person of character, a man of integrity, because without it, I have no backbone. I'm going to receive the Lord's word, let my yes be my experience, let my no be no. So when I tell you no, my experience will tell you it's a no. When I tell you yes, I mean, you remember the days when people used to trust people? Oh, how nice our community was. If I go on a bike ride, I'm like, man, we got to lock my bike because somebody might steal it. And they might. My helmet. I got to start thinking on ways to strap my helmet on the bike because somebody's going to steal it. You see, now, I give you 4 points to finish. And those things, I'm going to encourage you to hang on to them. You see, your belief will create your value. What you believe. Your belief will create your values. So let's say, for example, if you believe stealing is wrong, so you will value not stealing. You see, that's what's happening with this Generation Z. Their belief system is all messed up. I believe in God the Father. Our constitution was the word based from the word of God. We remove the cross in our public spheres. We remove the word of God. Now there we move Christians. See, and now if you want to be popular, don't talk about this. We all have a choice. Everybody wants everybody to love them, so therefore it's not about Jesus Christ. People blaspheme the name of Christ all the time. And we do not have the courage to stand and say, that's not right. But go ahead and blaspheme the name of their gods. There are a lot of little gods out there. Man-made God. If I would start talking about one of them right now, probably somebody would find me online and be like, you see this church? That's all they do. Blaspheme the name of their God. It's not worth it. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ here in this place. We talk more about Jesus than Satan. Satan is not our focus. No. Other God's not our focus. But because I value the name of Christ, I believe there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. What? You believe it or not? One day every tongue will confess. One day every knee will bow. Blessed are those who accept that news right now. So what am I going to do if my friends don't accept it? I'm going to love them. I'm going to be their friend. I'm going to be there for them. Why do you have to shove your belief down my throat? Why do I have to accept it? And I can't talk about my belief. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. So your belief, I'll encourage you today, even for you teenagers, what do you believe? Tell my kids all the time, what do you believe? What are your convictions, Alyssa? Can't be Makilla, it can't be your dad's conviction. What are your convictions on sin? What are your convictions on stealing? What are your convictions on fornication? Everybody tells you it's okay to sleep with each other all the time. Why is it not good for you? You know how bad it is right now? What are your belief system? What do you believe? Because what you believe will create your values. And you would say, man, the older generation believe in hardworking. The older generation believed in what you have, you work for it. And you take pride in that. But then if you have a generation, they just believe it's best to be hand me down. Hand me down is pass things over, right? For handouts. Free stuff. There's no pride in free stuff. I believe the government system is good to help you, because even for us, when we first moved in America, I had a visa. I had to apply for my work permit, and during that season, we had food stamp. But man, I never went to the store. I sent her. No, because I'm a proud man. I like to work for my money. I don't want to pull out EBT, man. I want to pull out my debit card, my credit card, my cash. But you know what? I couldn't wait to get out of that program. I work hard, I make more money. I work hard, I make more money, and I disqualified myself. That's how we should live. The program is good to help us get by. But it's not right. It is not right for us to raise up our kids on the program. Let's close that chapter. Get me going on character, I tell you. I can talk for a day. Number two, your values produce your morals. Your belief creates your values. Then your values will produce your morals. To value not stealing, that value then produce your moral response to the opportunity to steal. So then if I value not stealing, when I find myself in the position to steal, guess what? I won't steal. If I value my brothers, when I find myself in a position to backstabbing them, right away that law works out for me. No, I can't do that. If I value people, I don't judge them. I pray for them. And we should value everybody, whether they see things like we do. Number three, your morals then will form your ethics. And because your moral response is that this value is too important to you to violate, then your behavior become what we call an ethical behavior. So, I taught this last month at the ministry school, ethic in ministry. And I think that's one subject. I told you I've done some studies, but that's one subject they're not teaching much in Bible schools, ethic in ministry. Because your ethic will protect your ministry. We all face sin. We all face it. But as a minister, your moral standard should be like up there. Your ethic should be the strongest thing in your life. Because if you don't protect your ethic or your character, that will abort your life, your ministry, your friendship, your marriage, everything you have. I'll kill you. Number four, your ethic forms your character. A person of ethic is a person of character. And then your character will control your life. So in conclusion, character is something that you hold fast inside. And my challenge is hold tight to it. Build up your ethic. See, that's a good picture. That little boy here looks kind of frail, right? Yeah, but I like the shadow. Because that's his character. So I don't know where you're at today. My question for you would be, let's take some time. Alyssa, I'll ask you to come on the piano. Play C for me. Are you radical? Are you a radical Christian on fire for God? Or are you just blending into the crowd? Are you a radical Christian on fire for God? Or are you just blending into the crowd, trying to look like everyone else? See, maybe I know most of you have a relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to talk to my teenagers here. Make sure you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Look in your heart. Make sure you know Jesus and He knows you. Are you a radical Christian? Because if you're not, the world will eat you alive. And I tell you, more than ever, this is a tough day. Bad news everywhere. Kendra and I were talking about this morning. We can talk about bad news all day long, especially this past week in Haiti. The areas we were at last week, 2 weeks ago, this week is being invaded by gangs. People are fleeing their community. People are dying. But what is God doing? God is still at work. Somebody shared with me a lady that got miraculously healed from the issue of blood yesterday. So God is at work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, we take the commitment once again to you. We declare we will follow you. Jesus, I thank you for giving us an example. I thank you for setting up the standard for us to follow. You have left us no men to follow as example. You, Jesus Christ, is the example. You know, and Paul even read it, said it in one of the epistles. He said, as long as I'm following, he said, Timothy, follow my example as I follow Christ. So Jesus, this morning, as a congregation, we submit our lives to you. We take a decree saying, Lord, we will continue to live as people of integrity. We will continue to live as your disciples. Father, we give our hearts to you. We choose you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive our shortcoming. We ask that you would forgive the times that we have just missed it in our character. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to give us the ability to be the men and women that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. And make it a great day and a great week. Blessings to you. Amen.